Hey everybody, and welcome to The Void, a show dedicated to filling the void between being an employee and becoming self-employed. Most people refer to starting their own company as taking the leap, as if they're blindly jumping off a cliff and into the unknown. This show is here to help you understand that it doesn't have to be that way. As always, if you like what you're hearing on the show, please do us a favor and help share The Void with somebody else who might be wanting to start their own company. We saw an opportunity to help others understand that self-employment is well within your reach, and just as our businesses have grown organically and by word of mouth, we want this show to grow the same way. So if you see somebody asking questions about starting their own service-based business, please do us a favor and send them a link to the show. I'm your host, Mitch Smedley, and with me as always is David Hilton.
Has anyone ever told you, or have you ever thought that you might be an enabler?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
But in what area this time?
All areas.
All
areas?
I sent
you a picture of that car today.
Yeah, I know.
And I'm like, I'm looking for a realistic answer. Like, dude, you don't need that. That's too much money. Instead, I get, hell yeah, dude.
Yeah, you don't need anything. You don't need chickens. You don't need the house.
I know.
I want my friends to buy cool shit. So
you are definitely an enabler.
I'm gonna be like, yeah, buy it.
Hey, yeah, here's this guy's information. I better finance it for you.
I don't know what
God
you want.
God damn it, man.
I don't know what you want with a 1992 Honda Civic with 4,000 miles on it, but whatever. If that gets your jollies off, then so
I'm gonna put a supercharged LS in it. We're gonna see if we can split the frame in half. 200 miles an hour.
Do they have a Civics? Don't have a frame.
Do they? Of course they do.
They just rip in half. Did you? It's a unibody.
I watch a lot of those, and I get sucked into it. Like, in the evening, I'm tired, and I'll just be on Instagram, like, watching the videos, and all those high-speed supercars that get ripped in half at, like, 200 miles an hour because somebody's acting like an idiot. I don't know why. I'll watch it for 2 hours.
Dude.
Like, I just get sucked in. I'm like, oh.
So we were, this was like two weeks ago, we were going to the boat ramp at Blue Springs Lake, and you know they got them curvy lake roads around there.
Which way do you go?
Main boat ramp.
So you go down to the outer road on 470 and go in the Lakewood side?
Yeah, okay. Come in from that side.
Yeah, it is pretty windy over there.
And so we're coming in from that side, and the gate to the beach is closed like it is before Memorial Day every year. But a lot of times people will park at that gate and then like go walk in or whatever.
There's a lot of trails around the lake.
And so we're pulling up to the boat ramp like 2 weeks ago, and there's a pretty badass Porsche sitting at that gate to the ramp. And it's pointing towards the entrance, so its back end is pointing towards the gate.
Okay.
And we're like,
in there.
Yeah. And we're like, wow, that thing's lowered, and that thing's pretty sweet. And so then we get past it and realize the whole front left tire is ripped off of it. That's where it landed after it crashed. And so then as we're leaving, we see all the black marks where it lost control around the corner, hit the edge of the road, spun around, ripped the tire off, and that's where it parked. And we're like, oh.
Somebody is pissed.
Somebody didn't know this road very well and lost it coming up over this hill, and there's a curve.
Was it a newer one, too?
I'm going to say it's less than 10 years old.
Oh, man.
Yeah. It's like, oh, that's not lowered. That's just one tire holding up the whole front end. That's why it's looking lowered.
All the suspension has been ripped off of it. It just sits funny now.
Yikes.
Oh, my God. Oh, it's awful.
But yeah, expensive cars. I mean, I wouldn't buy an expensive, fast car and not drive it fast. That's like not banging your girlfriend and saving her for the next guy, you know?
Yeah. No, yeah, I'm going to drive whatever I get, I'm going to drive the shit out of it.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, man, a car with over 40,000 miles, supercar, this. I'm like, dude, I'm going to fucking rape that thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I am going to test every inch of it. I may die.
You see the guys in like California, or not California, like Colorado? Colorado, like Denver area, there's a lot of supercars there. There's some big money there.
Oh, there's huge money there.
And they'll get snowstorms, and you'll see a Aventador like down the highway with an inch of snow on the ground.
Yeah, they don't care.
And I'm like, that guy right there, that's the Carroll Shelby mentality.
He doesn't give up.
Carroll Shelby's on record many times over going, I didn't build these cars like this for them to sit in your garage. Drive them.
Yeah.
Like, use them. Enjoy them.
I wouldn't mind having a kit car, a Shelby Cobra kit car.
Yeah.
That would be pretty cool.
That'd be pretty fun.
You can still get a 427 side oiler. New. Brand new.
I think if I did one, I'd go modern.
Fuel injection.
Like, I want fuel injection. Like, I want it to stop and go well and be reliable.
Well, they stop and go well. I want the fucking thing to shake the house when I fire it up.
Oh, you can do that with tuning.
No. I want to smell gasoline coming off
the car. If you do an LS
motor,
you just need a cam. But
yeah, that's true. No, I would.
If you go a modern Ford motor, you're going to have to tune the cam into it because the cam's rotated idle.
Yeah. I like carbureted stuff, man.
Yeah.
I like it. Smells good. Smells like gas.
You know what my big kick has been?
There's no telling with you.
Powerboats. Old school 80s powerboats.
I literally, so the other night I sent you that thing on the Duramax. I just thought it was funny. Made me laugh. Well, there were like 10 before that. It was like, you know, you can't be sad if blah, blah, blah. And then it's like heavy rock music, smoking hot chicks and powerboats.
Right.
I was like, I should just start sending these to him and see how long he caves before he sells the fucking Malibu.
Oh, I won't sell the Malibu.
Well, you can't afford both.
I don't know. 80s powerboats are not all that expensive.
Dude,
there's a whole
host
of them for under 100 grand.
They're expensive. And they burn some serious
fucking gas. Oh, yeah, they burn some
gas.
Fuel.
You're spending $1,000 a weekend on gas.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe not $1,000, but $500.
That's like the joke of the guy that's like, wow, you must be rich. You got a really nice boat. And he goes, well, I used to be rich, and then I bought this boat.
Yeah.
Oh, well, why don't you sell the boat and go back to being rich? Well, then I wouldn't be happy.
Yeah. Yeah, what's the one where it's, your friends are envious because they think you're rich. You're like, no, I just make bad decisions.
I just make bad decisions. I'm just bad with money.
I'm financially broke, dog. I have no money, but I got these cool-ass fucking toys.
Yeah.
I know a guy that we used to hang out with a lot that's like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking
kid.
We spent this weekend at Lake of the Ozarks, and that did not help the powerboat kick at all.
No.
So something about watching those powerboats blast down the choppier water at 60 miles an hour. And meanwhile, my boat's struggling to do 15 miles an hour.
Yeah, yours is boat is cool as fuck.
It's
just not
built for rough water at all.
Dude, my boat will do 60 on glass, but it'll still do 50 on really choppy water.
Yeah.
Like, they're made to go on Lake Erie.
There's
a fishing boat. It's different.
Yeah, there's a big shelf in the V-hole of mine that you feel it every time you come down from a big wave. It's like, smack, smack.
I wanted to go so bad. I cannot. May is awful for us.
Yeah.
Layla had soccer Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, 2 flag football games on Friday, soccer on Saturday and Sunday. It's like, man, I'm so ready for it to be over. There's like a week and a half left.
Yeah.
And I'm just like counting the days. Like,
every year, the weekend before Memorial Day.
I know. It's awful. It's like super bad timing.
Yeah.
If I could get Brady to move that thing to like June, that would really help me out.
He'd never do it.
I know he would.
He makes too much money on that house, Airbnb.
I know. I don't blame him.
So
how was Craig?
Oh, it was fun. We had had a lot of fun.
I like Craig.
So it's
funny.
He's
still putting him down?
It's Friday or Saturday night. I can't remember. Can't remember what night it was, Thursday night or Friday night. I don't know. One of the nights there, I was texting Danielle. It was getting late. And I was texting
Danielle.
When you
say late,
like,
do you mean 45-year-old guy late? Or do you mean
It was like 10 p.m.
So 45-year-old guy late.
After all day on the lake, right?
Yeah. It's, dude, out in the sun all day drinking. It's,
yeah,
9 o'clock, 10 o'clock.
And so I'm like sitting on the couch mid-texting conversation with her, and then I fell asleep. And she's sending all these texts and everything else, and I'm not even replying or anything.
She was texting me, hey, we might be rich. Mitch might be dead.
Yeah. So she texts Craig, and she's like, hey, is Mitch all right? He was like middle of talking to me, and then now I can't get a hold of him. And Craig looked over his shoulder. He was out in like the sunroom playing shuffleboard.
Oh, yeah.
And he looks over his shoulder. He's like, hey, he's passed out on the couch. And she goes, oh, okay, have fun.
Oh, my God.
And then I woke up and went straight to bed.
Yeah.
Because I woke up 2 hours later. It was 12:15 when I woke up, and I'm like, oh, fuck.
Was everyone else passed out?
Oh, no, they were still partying.
Of course
And so I just went straight to bed, and then so I didn't even see Craig that night. The next morning, we all get up for breakfast, and Craig's like, hey, call your wife. That's so funny.
Oh, man.
So, and then I did the same exact thing to her the very next night.
Were you just drinking like 7 a.m.?
It's 9:30. Ish.
So breakfast and then
I'd get one. Some my thing was I wanted 3 bottles of water and breakfast before I kick into the drinking. So
yeah, you gotta pace yourself when you're on the water.
Gotta rehydrate.
Especially if it's hot out and the sun's out. It'll zap you.
It was, except for Saturday was a little chilly there.
Saturday was cool up here too.
But Thursday and Friday it was sunny in 80s and great. So the allergens down there were horrible.
Yeah.
Like
all that oak pollen's out right now.
It was covering the lake in film.
Green slime.
Then it would like cover my boat.
Yeah.
I get out to the boat in the morning.
Yeah.
And the dew would have puddled all of the pollen, and there's like piles of pollen.
It's bad.
And I'm like, good God.
It's bad down there this time of
year.
Yeah,
all these old men are just like, anybody got any allergy medicine? Oh. Like, snotting and crying. And meanwhile, I'm like, I think you're just allergic to weed.
Yeah, 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 maybe.
It's a ragweed allergy.
Yeah.
It's ditch weed.
Maybe you should just sleep a little longer than 2 hours.
Yeah.
You'll be fine. Yeah. Oh. I want to talk about a couple things real quick before we get started.
Fire away.
Tradewinds event, July 26th.
July 26th. Where?
Mandalay Bay, Las Vegas.
Mandalay Bay, Las Vegas.
If you want to join us, sign up for Tradewinds.
Yeah.
That's all I got. The app is out for the Tradewinds calculator.
Yep.
But it's not available on the Google Store yet.
Yeah.
We're waiting for them. We have, but what I'm going to do, I'm going to put the direct links in the description of the shows and on the website for now. So you can go on there and buy it.
There you go.
The other thing I wanted to pimp was all of our guys, not all, there's a bunch of guys in Tradewinds that can't find help.
Right.
If you're listening to this show and you're looking for a job, hit us up. And if it's around someone that's in one of those areas, we will put you in touch with them.
Yeah. If you're listening to this show and you're not quite ready to start your own thing,
but you want to get paid well, like we would never, like if you hit us up for a job, we would never send you to someone that's a fucking shitty boss.
Right.
It doesn't have good benefits and pay and all that.
The
kind
fact
of stuff.
That they're in Tradewinds says that they're a good boss because they care more about their company than themselves.
Yeah. And so. I think, just moving forward, I haven't said anything to you about this because, frankly, I don't care. I will probably make something on the website where we can try to hook all those people up that are looking for jobs.
Yeah.
And our guys that are looking for good employees.
Right.
You know, Joe and I have been kind of kicking it around. So we're trying to figure out a way that it doesn't cost money and we can just put it on there and it can be completely automated. Because let's be honest, none of us have time to be like trying to match guys up.
Right.
So we'll see how it goes. But until then, just email us. Hey, I'm in this area and I'm looking for a job. I have X amount of experience. If we have a Tradewinds member in that area, I'll fucking hook you up.
Yeah. So. And I'll add to that, literally this morning, we just had a group coaching call about how to hire, how to find, how to hire, and how to attract top talent.
Yep.
And so if you join Tradewinds here in the near future, I'll give you a copy of the recording of that call. It'll be posted in Tradewinds. The recording will be posted in there. So you'll have the recording if you join Tradewinds.
Hey, boys and girls, it's David. Mitch and I started Tradewinds to help trades professionals start their business, or if they've already started, to get it to a healthy and profitable level. It's training, it's coaching, it's mentoring, all in one. Click on the link in the description to find out a little bit more. There's a promotional video you can watch when you go to the website. If you fill out the contact form, I'll even make Mitch call you.
Have you posted it yet?
I haven't posted it.
Okay. No. Joe Mullen was asking about it.
Yep.
I said yes, and then that was it. I should have probably tagged
it. It was recorded, but just haven't posted the recording yet.
It usually takes a day or so.
Yeah. No, it's. I got the email. I just haven't had time.
Yeah, I know. I meant because you're lazy.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay.
I meant because you're busy.
Yeah. Lazy, busy.
Same difference.
Same thing.
It's all perspective.
Yeah.
What do you want to talk about, dude?
I want to talk about. So there's a common cliche saying that says don't trip over dollars to save dimes. And ideally what they're talking about there is like money stuff. Right?
Yeah.
But I think that idea or that philosophy applies to a whole lot more than just money.
Yeah.
And I think for me in my development through my career, the moment I realized that my natural reaction is to find the dimes to trip over instead of keep focusing on the dollars, the moment I realized I was doing that, my career got better. Substantially better. And so, in other words, for me, so at this time that, like, I vividly remember when I realized all this.
Really?
And I was managing a plumbing department for a company that I was at for 10 years. And everything I had done had worked, but I was still limiting my own abilities by finding dimes to trip over instead of dollars, instead of focusing on the dollars. And so, what would happen is somebody would come up with a new idea and I would find all the things wrong with it instead. And I would vocalize them instead of finding the things right with it, recognizing the things that are wrong, but keeping it to myself and mitigating those and then just pursuing the things that were right. And so it came off like I was negative, even though negative wasn't my intent. It was more or less like cautious. right?
You were cautiously optimistic.
I would say I was cautiously pessimistic, to be honest with you. Cautiously optimistic would be recognizing the hurdles and mitigating them, but then hoping for the best. And meanwhile, I'm using those hurdles as reasons why it won't work. And this comes in many different ways, right? Sponsorship opportunities, hiring people, firing people, taking new accounts, taking on commercial work, getting up with net 30 terms, you know, all of these things, they're decisions that business owners have to make, and there are pros and cons to them. And if you focus on the pros, you're going to have a lot better results in life than if you focus on the cons. In other words, taking on commercial work. Commercial plumbing companies turn a lot more dollars than residential plumbing companies. Commercial plumbing companies also get hung out to dry by vendors from time to time. And so,
yeah,
a lot
bad,
right?
Yeah.
And so you hear somebody saying, like, for instance, Chipotle here in town, we just submitted a $70,000 bid to them to replace some tankless water heaters. If I was cautiously pessimistic, I'd be like, oh, I'm not working for those guys. They're probably going to want net 30, turn it into net 60, maybe net 90. Then I might not even get paid. And then here I am just donating 70 grand in water heaters to them. But cautiously optimistic is, let's get them a good, reasonable price. Let's put some really good boundaries on it. Let's make sure our contract is good so that if they try to slow pay, I'm compensated. And if they try to not pay, I'm protected. That's cautiously optimistic.
Yeah.
Right.
The cons are excuses. You know what I mean? And people will use the cons as an excuse because of the fear they have for what you just said.
Yeah.
I'm afraid I'm not going to get paid. I'm afraid this is going to happen. I'm afraid that is going to happen. So they will use that con as an excuse.
Yep. And you'll see guys, it's so funny how guys will change their position on things to suit their own, I'm going to say, insecurities. In other words, like, I've talked to guys where they were like, I owe my entire career to this guy. He was amazing. Cool. Why don't you still work for him? Oh, he was a piece of shit boss. Okay, well, was he amazing or a piece of shit boss?
We call that a contradiction.
Right, right. And then, well, he just never could get his company off the ground, couldn't keep me busy, and so I had to go somewhere else. Okay, cool. But then they'll use business advice that guy gave them.
Yeah.
Oh, that guy said, never do this because this might happen.
Yeah, it's as if it's ironclad.
Right, yeah. Right. And like, let the results speak for themselves. Is the guy a successful business person? Yes or no? If he is, then maybe take business advice from him. But if he's not, then just disregard whatever he's telling you. Or if anything, do the opposite.
Yeah.
You know?
I love that. We had this guy... I won't say his name. He may listen to this. When he first started working for us, he would literally go check an air conditioner, right? Mm-hmm. Instead of putting your clamp on there and actually getting your temperature difference, he would literally hold his hand around the liquid or the suction line. And he said, my boss always said when it felt like an ice cube, it was full and ready to go. And I'd be like, dude, why? What? Yeah, that's the way he did it. Why'd you quit working for him? Oh, he went out of business. Well, no shit.
Yeah.
And dude, it literally, we had to threaten firing him because he would not.
Just refused to use gauges.
So he used gauges, but no temperature clamp.
Yeah.
And he just refused to do it the right way. We're like, dude, if you don't, we're going to fire you.
Yeah.
I don't know what else to fucking tell you.
Yeah.
Stop.
Yeah.
But he had literally, that guy had like, was such an important part of his life that he just literally took all bad advice that he ever gave him and just ran with it.
Yep.
And didn't want to change. But at the same time, openly was like, no, he's not in business. He couldn't figure it out.
Right.
Well, no shit, man.
Right.
What are you even doing?
Yeah.
Stop.
Yeah. There's a lot of things like that, right? So, like, I went out. This was a long time ago. We had to excavate in a city street around a lake community for a sewer line repair.
Ugh.
And tier one are the houses that back up to the lake. Tier two are the houses that are across the street from the lake, right? Tier one houses pump up to a sewer main.
Yeah.
tier two houses drained by gravity. Drained by gravity at this particular spot of the lake.
Yeah, some right? of them were pumped.
Some of them were pumped. And so we're dealing with a gravity one, but we've also got pressure lines in the area, and we've got water lines in the area. And so
that was probably a shitty dig.
It was tough, but we call in the water department. We call in for locates, and the city was supposed to locate their own water line. So Telcom gets located, everything else gets located, but the city is supposed to locate their water and sewer on their own. And so I get out there to dig it, and the city has not located water or sewer, and we know they're somewhere close. So I call the city, we stop, you know, we don't even get started. And I call the city and I'm like, hey, we need these locates. And they, they're like, oh, sorry, we'll get a guy out there. Guy shows up with witching rods. And it's like, dude, you work for the water department.
Yeah.
And
you're telling me you don't have a fucking locator, bro?
You want to talk about tripping over dimes to or tripping over dollars to save dimes. You work for the water department and you don't have an actual electronic locator to find this water line. You're literally just leaving it up to bent coat hangers and witchcraft.
Did he have at least like a map?
No.
Oh my God.
No.
Really?
And yeah.
Oh my God.
And anybody that believes witching rods actually work, I would question their judgment, because most of the time you like, and they'll say, well, I've seen it work. Well, yeah, I can stand in between two fire hydrants and assume where the water main is. And then I can blindly walk with these sticks and fold my hands in just a little bit and watch those sticks cross whenever I get to the water line and be like, yeah, it's right here somewhere. And I'll be within 3 or 4 feet and I'll be like, see?
Told you.
Got it.
Yeah. I've also seen a drunk 10 get with a big, fat, sweaty, nasty guy.
Yeah.
But it's not the common ground.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it just happens once in a while.
Yeah. Just because a blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while doesn't mean we use blind squirrels to find nuts. Right?
That's good.
And
man.
So I chewed the guy out. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. He goes, what? This is how we locate out here. I said, no, not while I like.
Are you going to.
Like, I'm liable for tens of thousands of dollars in infrastructure if you get this wrong.
Well, are you?
Well.
If it's within 2 feet.
Well.
Right.
Right. But also my let's say I hit the water main.
Yeah, and you don't actually have to fix it, but yeah, your job's on hold.
My job shut down. The whole street now hates us because we're the company that killed the water on their street for a week and all this stuff.
Just stand out there with a sign. The guy came with witching rods.
Yeah, I'm like, I told him, I'm like, I'm not allowing you to locate with witching rods, and I'm calling your boss, and I told them, I'm like, do not come out here unless you have actual locating equipment. And if I need to call into whatever resource agencies I need to call into and let them know that your water municipality is locating it with witchcraft, I will. And they were like, oh, no, we'll get a locator out there. And so here they come unboxing a locator and reading the.
Was it brand new?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
my
they
God.
Read the directions. They were like clipping zip ties off the thing.
Where was this?
It is.
Not Tapawingo, not Lotawana.
No, it's kind of like Lake Quivira. But it's in like KCK.
Like Mazingo?
No. It's a lake over Swope there,
Park?
Like Western Shawnee somewhere.
Hmm. Never heard of it.
I don't think it was Lake Quivira.
Is
lake,
there just
Lake
a
of
Shawn-
the Woods? I think it was Lake of the Woods.
Okay.
Is what they call it. I think.
You have no idea.
I can't remember.
Do you want me to Google it?
Very tiny town. See if Google Lake of the Woods.
I got it. You finish.
Google Lake
it.
Of the Woods and see if that's it. But anyway, they got out there and located it. And lo and behold, where he had stood, I put a green dot where he stood saying it was. And lo and behold, their locator shows up 3 feet farther.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm looking. Lake of the Woods is by KCK.
Yeah. Western Shawnee area.
No, this is by Swope. Swope Park Shelter 10, Swope Golf Course, Lake of the Woods, Kansas City Parks.
Okay. No, so that's not it. I can't remember.
It's not that important.
Yeah, it's a small lake community over in Kansas.
Well, I'm sorry I asked.
Yeah. They have electronic locators now. So.
Well, it's probably still in the box. They just keep it on the shelf.
Yeah.
I got my witching rods out.
Yeah. Get them witching rods.
Don't say too much. Dave Shoemaker will come up. But I know how to.
Yeah.
I think he's the one in the group that says he could find them.
There are some
time.
People that are very passionate about it. And then whenever they miss one, they're like, well, that's because there's Rocky. Or, it's because I didn't eat my Wheaties that morning and my stomach was off. And that messes with my intuition. So. I don't know.
Oh, you psychopaths.
But yeah, so that like that's a living example of tripping over dimes or tripping over dollars to save dimes, right? Yeah. But like we do this all the time. You'll have guys that are like, well, I would start my own company, but I don't want all that risk and all that headache, and I don't want to have to look out for employees, and I don't want to get sued by customers, because every company out there gets sued like all the time. That's pretty much what it's like to be a company, is you just get sued.
I mean, if you're a piece of shit, yeah.
Right.
But if you're a stand-up individual, no.
Yeah.
Man, well,
and
a lot.
And I'll be honest with you, if you're that pessimistic, then self-employment and business ownership is not for you.
Yeah.
Right? Business ownership is about wanting to have more control over the outcome. It's not about being greedy. It's about just wanting to have more control over the outcome. In other words, I did exactly what I do now. I did for other companies for years. But now I get to all those little tiny things where my boss would be like, well, it's a good idea, but I want to do it this way. Well, now I get to do it my way. And I get to learn firsthand, was my old boss right? Or was my way right?
I want to do it my way.
Right? And it's not like my way
no,
like,
I know.
Because I want it to be selfish. It's like I genuinely feel like my way is better outcome for the employees and the customer and the business. And so now I get to do that, right?
Yeah. The worst is the guys that will drive to 8 supply houses to try to save 10 cents.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm going to... Dude, on that job, I saved 50. You drove around for 4 hours.
Yeah.
To save $50.
Right.
What's your time worth?
I spoke to a potential Tradewinds member.
God, that shit drives me crazy more than anything. They don't realize how valuable their time is.
Yeah.
Job to job to job to job to job. And over a long enough period of time, sometimes it's $100,000 for a $5 million company.
Right.
That you've just wasted trying to save $50 a job.
Right. I was speaking to a potential Tradewinds member. And they bought the price book, and they were questioning where we get all the pricing and all this stuff. And he was like, all your prices come from one vendor. I'm like, yeah. And he goes, well, I'm sure your market's like mine, where I buy copper over here because it's cheaper, and I buy fittings over here because it's cheaper, and then I order these supplies from supplyhouse.com because it's cheaper and all this. And I'm like, bro, use the most expensive supply house you can and set your material pricing from it, and then buy from wherever's closest. Don't buy from wherever's cheaper.
Yeah.
Unless you're pre-buying for like a giant construction project where you need 1,000 feet of copper.
Which you're going to have bid anyway. It doesn't really matter.
Right.
Because you're
going
to get a discount.
But like, I don't care that the supply house has P-traps for 50 cents and Home Depot has P-traps for $3. If Home Depot's 2 blocks away and the supply house is 10 miles away and I need a P-trap, I'm going to Home Depot.
Yeah.
Because time is money. Right.
Yeah.
And my time is worth a whole lot more than $1.50 on a P-trap. Right.
Yeah.
And I said, besides, a P-trap is a small enough and cheap enough item. You should never run out of those on your truck. That'd be like running out of Teflon tape on your truck if you're a plumber. Like there are certain things you just should never run out of.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I'm out of flux. Why the fuck are you out of flux? Right. I guarantee your ProPress battery didn't lose charge, but you let yourself run out of flux. So
a real insight into Mitch today.
Yeah. But
you
that,
goddamn son of a bitch.
That type of philosophy of like they're just making it so much harder on themselves to succeed in business because they've convinced themselves I can't buy material from anybody unless they're the cheapest ones to buy it from, no matter how much time it costs me.
Yeah.
And or fuel.
Yeah.
And fuel right now is expensive, so.
Are you tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? The Void Podcast has negotiated exclusive rates for the Void listeners. This program's tailored for trade businesses like yours. And if you're using House Call Pro, switch and you can expect to save $80 for every 10,000 you process per month. Don't let high processing fees drain your profits. Visit empowerpayments.com/the void or call us at 913-423-1265 now and unlock your savings.
It's crazy. Now, I mean, the one caveat is like if you do carry some inventory in the shop or you're buying bulk, like, okay, yeah.
Right.
Shop it around on the phone, order it online, whatever, get it there. But when you're in the midst of, I wanted to say battle, but when you're in the midst of working all day and you've got 5 calls to go to, come on, man. Don't sacrifice the last call because you want to drive around half the day to save $75.
Right.
The last call of the day could be a sewer replacement.
Right.
Or water heater. You know, it could be something huge.
Right, right. Yeah, and on that note, since we're kind of talking about that, I don't stock any inventory in our shop. The only inventory we have in our shop is things that we don't, like, we use enough that we want to make sure we have, but we don't use it enough to keep it on the van. So, for instance, like, a couple of years ago, 2 years ago, when Texas had that big freeze.
Oh, yeah, we've talked about this.
Yeah. Texas in the whole South region was like, it popped tankless water heaters all over.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
They were buying them all over the country.
And so, like, the whole country's inventory was kind of being redirected to Texas.
Dwindled,
and
yeah.
I didn't want to be, like, we don't stock a tankless on the truck. And I'd never stocked a tankless in my shop until Texas froze. And then it's like, I don't want this Texas freeze to limit my ability to put in a tankless because we make good money on tanklesses. So yeah. I stocked one in the shop until the supply got back. And then we used the one from the shop and I never restocked it. And now we just let the supply houses stock them for us. Because, I mean, a tankless is what, $1,500, $2,000?
And yeah, so, I don't know what they are now.
I don't want
maybe $1,900.
I don't want $2,000 in inventory just sitting in my shop waiting for me to use it.
Yeah.
I had to pay $2,000 to get it there. But like, what's it matter just sitting there?
Yeah.
And when I have to drive to the shop to get it or drive to the supply house to get it.
Yeah.
If I got to drive somewhere, I might as well drive to the place that I haven't paid for it yet.
Yeah. And full transparency, you guys stock a lot on your trucks too.
Yeah.
We
stock over 2,000 items and it's over 15,000 in inventory.
You guys
probably closer to 18.
You guys run the big transits.
Yeah.
They can hold a lot of material.
Yeah.
You can get most of your jobs done, 90% of your jobs done with what's on the truck.
Yeah. Yeah, most of them. Big installs, you're always going to have to make a material list and go.
Yeah. Like, I did that. Heating and cooling's different, too. But, like, I didn't stock either. I had, like, two shelves in my garage that were full enough that but it was like you were saying, it's stuff that I may have to order from the supply house anyway.
Right.
Like, through them and have to wait.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want customers
to
be doing
that. Get, like, a PCM motor or something like that where it's like, okay, we run into the. I only have room for one on the truck. We run into them often enough where I might see two a week.
Yeah.
So I'll keep one in the shop just in case.
Stuff like that.
Yeah.
And HVAC is a little different. But yeah, I wasn't. All these guys I knew, you know, they're stocking. Oh, well, we keep, you know, $15,000. We have $20,000 in the shop. I'm like, dude, why?
Right. Right.
Like, you're literally. Do you know what? And this is entrepreneur math and my crazy brain, but you know what I could do with $20,000?
Right.
Like, I could keep that you could keep it in a high yield savings account at 5% and be at least making some money. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I don't like to think of it like that all the time, but it just seemed like such a waste.
I'm
not saying don't do it, but it's like, man.
You say $20,000 of discretionary spending and I see 200 new customers
into
the business.
Could be marketing.
Right.
It could be all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
I always think of things as a one man shop.
Oh, right.
Did you catch that?
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, like for you, marketing, I could hire another part-time CSR for a couple of weeks.
Right.
And give my wife the, you know, 2 weeks off because she's driving me fucking back crack. Anything.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah, the shop inventory thing. So, like, I've spoken to people before that don't carry much inventory on their van and they're constantly having to go to the supply house and all this. And it's like,
time is money, baby.
And so I tell them, I'm like, we stock about 15 grand in inventory and it's 2,000 items. And they're like, holy cow, how do you do that? And I'm thinking, how do you not do that?
Yeah.
Like, who has the time to go to the supply house 3 and 4 times a day?
Yeah.
Like, that's insane.
Yeah.
You know? And
if you have 4 guys and they're all doing that,
right,
you are literally wasting at least 1 day of work time per week.
Right.
It's crazy.
It's kind of funny. Productivity pay solves a lot of that.
It does.
And I mean, essentially being a business owner is productivity pay.
I mean, unless your guys don't care.
Well, no,
even when they're on productivity pay, if they don't care, they're like, yeah, whatever. I don't care. I get one more call, whatever.
Right. Right.
You know, if they're old, close to retirement, something like that.
Yeah. But like being a business owner's productivity pay.
Yeah.
I'm only paid as much as the business can pay me for how well the business performed. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so, the shop material thing is a great example where it's not necessarily dollars. It's more time. Right. Another one is you'll get guys that are afraid to hire employees. They're so busy they need somebody, but they're afraid to hire an employee because then it's like, what do I do with them when things get slow? Well, that's part of building a business.
Yeah.
Like, you can't say I want a 10-man shop one day, but you're afraid to hire the first guy.
Yeah.
Because things might get slow. Like, what happens if things get slow at a 10-man shop?
Yeah.
That's and it's kind of funny. We as employees or new owners, we often forget how many times we sat at home as employees. Like I can remember sitting at home. Like, I can remember having a week off because there was no work. And so it's like, okay, yeah. I got a week off because there's no work. But then now that I'm an employer, it's like I forget that when I was an employee, I was getting time off because there was no work. So, like, I get that, yes, it is my job as a business owner to keep my guys busy. Obviously, I make more money doing it that way. But I don't put so much pressure on myself that if my guy has a day off, I'm, like, panicking.
No.
Right?
Because they make...
They make really good money.
They make good money. And, you know, a lot of the problem, I think, and I don't know if it's a guy thing or what, but we think that growth is linear.
It's not.
We think that it's just this nice, straight, even line that just goes up. I do the work. This happens. And I just get there on a nice, like I'm going up a pyramid.
Yeah.
It's not like that. It's like the damn stock market. It's up. It's down. It's up. It's down. It is controlled chaos sometimes at its finest.
Yeah. It's like a football game.
Yeah.
We're going to try a run play. Oh, we lost 2 yards.
Yeah.
We don't be like, well, we don't run the ball anymore.
No.
I used to run the ball, but then I lost 2 yards on a carry, and so now we just throw it every time.
Yeah.
Like, nobody does that.
I mean,
right?
I like to say, you know, if you're hiring guys and you're afraid they're going to be laid off for a short amount of time or the work's going to dry up and you're going to have to fire them or whatever, use that as fire to motivate you to market better.
Right.
To get more work.
Right.
Like, that's sometimes I think that it's guys don't want to hire because they know it's going to generate more work for them than they already, you know what I mean? As far as getting work, office work, handling the employee, all of those things. And so they use it. They use the, what do I do if I have to fire them as an excuse to not do it at all.
Right.
Because they're afraid. I shouldn't say afraid. They're afraid or they're lazy or, you know, it's something of that nature that they don't want to be responsible for. And if you're going to grow your business, you better get the fuck over that real quick.
Right. You either put in the work now or you put it in later.
Yeah.
Right.
It's coming regardless, man.
That's there's a saying that I've heard before about raise your kids right or else you'll find yourself raising your grandkids too.
Oh,
right.
Yes.
And it's kind of like grow your business right or else you're going to find yourself working in the business years down the road.
Yeah.
Right. Because if you put in the extra time and the effort, then hiring people is very rewarding and worth it. But if you can't muster up the courage to work a little harder for a while, because you will have to work harder. It is hard to hire people. You got to find benefits. You got to get work for them. You got to be marketing to a level to where you're turning away work that you need to hire somebody to run that work that you're currently missing out on. Like, there's a lot of work. However,
it may not be difficult work, but it's work.
It's a lot.
Like, it's work, and it takes time.
Yeah. And so
it's frustrating.
If you're letting that be the reason why you don't hire anybody, well, then you're just basically setting yourself up to work in your business for many, many, many years.
Yeah.
And so you've got to bite the bullet and go through the hard times. And we were talking about this on the coaching call this morning. A balanced, everyone tries to say like work-life balance is a thing, right? Well, I would hire people, but I'm trying to achieve better work-life balance and spend more time at home. Well, guess what's going to give you the most time at home? Hiring people. Guess what's going to give you the most family vacations? Hiring people.
Yeah.
Right? Guess what's going to give you better income? Hiring people.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I saw some bad advice yesterday on the internet. This dude was...
Really? I'm shocked that there was bad advice on the fucking internet.
This guy says, we currently have 3 employees in our company. We're doing $750,000 a year in revenue. At what point do I need to hire for this position? And
what was the position? You got to tell me.
It was an office-related position, okay. I think. But, you know, they're going to get a ton of people's opinions and everything else. One guy said, don't hire a single individual until your revenue is over $1 million. He says, a one-man shop can do $1 million in revenue by themselves, and you shouldn't be hiring employee number 2 until you're over $1 million.
In
and I'm like,
what,
bullshit.
What trade was it?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's my point. Like,
right.
HVAC,
That's
maybe?
Why it's scary to take advice over the internet
plumbing?
From non-vetted people.
Fuck no. Mitch, if you did $1 million by yourself in plumbing, you're the baddest motherfucker to ever walk the planet.
It took 5 employees total for
that's
us
what,
to do $1.2 million.
That's my point.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
What a dipshit.
So.
Did you crush the guy?
No, I didn't. I don't waste my time on that shit anymore. So.
I'm disappointed.
But, yeah.
That's horrible.
Yeah.
That's freaking horrible.
Yeah, I just left that whole thing alone because I'm like...
It was too crazy? Like,
well,
it was too much?
Ironically, one of the guys that's going to be speaking in Vegas, he weighed in on it. Because essentially the guy did say something to the effect of, I've got this much in the bank, but I feel like I need this much more in the bank before I can hire somebody else. And Joshua Crouch is one of the guys that's going to be speaking in Vegas.
You know what's funny is I don't know any of these people.
Right.
Mitch doesn't tell me.
He commented on it, which is probably why I saw it, because he and I are friends on Facebook. He commented on it and said, don't ever make hiring decisions based off of how much money's in the bank, because that's the wrong metric.
Yeah.
You make hiring decisions how much based off how much it's costing you not to hire that person.
Which, in layman's terms, how much work are you turning away?
Right.
Or how much work can you not get to?
Or what's your time worth? And if your time is worth a lot, then you don't need to be spending your valuable time doing cheaper dollar tasks.
Yeah.
Clerical stuff and data entry is cheaper dollar tasks, and a master plumber does not need to be doing that. You can hire somebody to do that, free up your time to go do master plumbing work, and you kill two birds with one stone. You're doing more work, and now you're making money while the clerical work's getting done.
Exactly.
And that's how you hire, right?
You know, the guy that lives next to me that we both know is a control freak, right? Worth tens of millions of dollars.
Right. But he's all done it. He is what I would call a true self-made person, because he's done it without...
I would say he's done it by standing on the backs of hard working employees and offering them nothing.
Yeah.
That's what I would say. But that's not where I'm going with this. Where I'm going with this is he's one of those people that has to control every little aspect of everything. No, I'm going to do that. I'm going to run the machine. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do this. In spite of paying someone $20 an hour to do it, which would allow him to free up his time and do what he's good at.
Right.
Putting jobs together. Buying properties, doing those things. Like, it's amazing to me, him individually, how much he is worth, despite the fact that he has hindered himself so much by being such a controlling person in every little aspect and not delegating because he's worried about saving $20 an hour.
Right.
Instead of, if I pay this guy $20 an hour, I don't have to do that at all.
Yeah.
And now I can focus on things that make big fucking money.
Yep. So, like...
Dimes over dollars, man.
Yeah. A great way another way to look at exactly what you just said is a lot of people will approach a situation and immediately throw out the judgment, I can't afford that, or I don't have time for that. And the right way, that's the wrong way to approach it. The right way to approach it is to look at it and say, how could I afford that? And how could I have time for that? In other words, what would have to take place for that to be a feasible, viable option, right? Yeah. And and so, in other words...
What's it going to take?
Yeah, in other words, you should hire a couple of $20 an hour guys to do the labor. Oh, I can't afford that. Okay, what would it take for you to afford that? Well, I'd have to have twice the work. Okay, what would that take? Well, I'd have to bid more jobs. Okay, what would that take? Well, I need more time. Well, you'd have more time if you hired more guys.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, if you take the adage... Or if you take the bad statement of I can't afford that or I don't have time for that, and you turn it around to how can I afford that and how could I have time for that, you might still not do the thing, but your perspective changes. You're approaching it from a statistical angle rather than a feeling, right?
Well, you've worked the question.
Yes,
and you actually can see all of the outcomes. Right. I'm bad about this as in I will overanalyze things. Like, I will see all outcomes and then let it kind of run over me instead of just, and I'm trying to do better. Like, okay, I see the one that, what are the three most likely things to happen?
Right.
And then try to break it down to that.
Yeah.
You know, but that is a real skill of sucking all that stuff in, deciding which scenario you're the most comfortable with, and then going with it.
Yeah.
Instead of using those scenarios as an excuse to not do it at all.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's just like last weekend, and I don't say this, but like, I could have gone to Man Weekend, but I would have had to sacrifice what I love doing most, right? I could totally have been like, no, I'm not going to go see her games, but seeing her games is more important than me than going to the Man Weekend. It's the same thing.
It's the same thing.
Business is the same thing. Yep. Where am I going to choose to spend my time?
Right.
You know, what is most valuable to me? In business, it's making more money regardless.
And,
you know...
The bookend on the whole Man Weekend thing and the decision you made is you never once were like, I wish I could have been there, or I just didn't have the time. You were like, no, I have to wait and see what the schedule is, and I will do that over this, right? Yeah. So you had already calculated a decision.
Yeah.
And so where you run into people that are very vocal about it is they'll say, I want to hire, but I just can't afford that risk. They'll claim a want and then immediately follow it up with an excuse of why they don't, right?
Yes.
And so, like, for you, with the Man Weekend thing, you never said, like, I wanted to go, but I would have had to miss games.
I said, I wish I could have been there, but I knew.
Right.
I knew what was important to me. Where those games fall will dictate my decision.
Right, right.
And business so, is the same way.
And you're not kicking yourself for missing it. Like obviously, yes, it would have been fun if you were there, but you had more fun doing what you like to do.
Of course.
Right.
Yeah, of course.
And so that's usually the indicator there is you're when you say I want to do this, but I just don't ... you're lying either on the front end of that question or the back end of that question.
You are.
You either don't want to do it or the I just ... or it just or whatever excuse is the lie. One of those two is the lie.
Yep.
And there's a lot of people that will lie about their wants because they think that's what the people want them to want, right? In other words, people like there's a lot of people that don't want to grow their business. But they'll say, "Oh yeah, we're trying to grow, we're trying to hire, you just can't find good help these days."
Yeah.
And well, it's like, "Well, hold on, you're either trying to hire or you can't find good help. Both can't be true."
Well, they want to like let's be honest, they want to save face and they want to look good,
right.
But they're scared to grow. And look, that's okay.
Yeah, yo, it's totally fine.
It is scary as shit. But you have to realize what will really bring clarity to you is when you realize I'm not doing this because I am afraid of this, then you can face the question, even though I'm afraid of this, am I going to overcome it?
Yep.
And am I going to do X, Y, and Z
to
get to my what I told myself is my goal at the end?
Right.
Or am I not going to?
Right. Right.
I mean, that sounds real simple, I know, but it's not.
Right.
Facing your own fears and judging yourself without any external, you know, pressure and then deciding what am I going to do and am I going to just take it on regardless? Like that is what, when you come to that point, that is what will separate and dictate your future moving forward and how you're going to be. I saw something the other day. I may have said this on the podcast before, but it was like, you know, people in their 40s don't have midlife crisis. They have it's their rebrand.
Right.
Business is the same way.
Yeah.
Personally, like, where do I want to be? Well, 10 years ago, I told myself my goal was this, and I'm not even halfway there. Well, it's time for a rebrand. And I don't mean your business. I mean you personally. What are we doing here?
Yeah, you got to rebrand your principles, your values, your morals.
Am I going to do the work that it takes to get there?
Right.
Or am I not?
Right.
Like, and that's I think a lot of, I want to say guys, but a lot of individuals that are business owners, that is something, one of their main struggles.
Yeah.
Is deciding to either jump in with both feet or fucking hang out with your feet in the water
right
on the side of the pool, you know?
I think what causes a lot of that is...
All right, so you've newly started your company and you're trying to pinch pennies. However, you don't realize the biggest thing that's hurting you right now is not gathering all of your information into one spot and making it super efficient for you to use. So the answer is Field Pulse. It gets you off of paper tickets. It gets you off of all of that crazy office work at the end of the day and reconciling all that stuff. And it lets you organize everything with ease. It puts it all into the computer. It actually puts it all into the cloud. So it's not even putting it on your computer. And it lets you organize your customers. It lets you organize all of your service calls. Heck, it'll even route you to your service call. And the best part is, even after all of that, you'll probably realize about a 100% growth in your business just in the first year of using Field Pulse. So if you'd like to check out Field Pulse and see what great looks like, click on the link in the description of this show.
There is a little bit of a lonely factor when you go out into business. So like when you're working for somebody else, you're being guided by a manager, you're being guided by a business owner, a supervisor, teammates. So there's a constant onslaught of positivity and encouragement as a part of your workflow.
Well, you're on everyone else's shoulders. And when you are on your own, you're the one holding everyone else up.
Right, right. So when
there's a switch there.
When you start your own thing, you don't have a boss or a manager that's lifting you up and helping you after you had the hard day. You don't have other employees that are innovative and showing you a new way to do things, right? And so there's like a 2-year to 3-year itch where guys will start their own thing and then they just decide it's not for them after those 2 to 3 years and they go back to working for themselves and, or they go back to working for somebody else. And ultimately what it was they really probably should have joined some local area groups or some national groups to help give them the confidence and the encouragement and the camaraderie that comes from surrounding yourself with like-minded individuals.
You know, at the last event, we had Tristan and Dan speak,
mm-hmm.
and they both said that.
Yeah.
About TradeWinds.
Yeah.
It was, there was someone there to hear my complaints and just lift me up, and I knew I was a part of something else. I think Dan even said, like, you know, one of my first calls, we didn't talk any business stuff.
Right.
They could tell I was just upset and flustered, and we shot the shit for 30 minutes, and it built me back up.
We're real people.
Yeah.
We got the same problems everyone else does.
I never thought, and I'm not bragging or anything, I never thought that TradeWinds, as far as the mental aspect of owning a business, would be as influential as it is.
Yeah.
Or that it would be so important to the guys that are like, man, sometimes I just need other, you know, members to talk to. I need someone mm-hmm. that's in my shoes that I can bitch to.
Right.
You know, they all have these, and I say this all the time, they all have these little groups and that, you know, they've built these relationships and they lift each other up and they hold each other up. It's great, man.
Yeah.
But like you were just saying, when you're out on your own, you're on an island.
Yeah.
Unless you join a group like this or...
And it can be...
Any group.
It can be a local networking group. It can be a B&I group.
Yeah,
to where you're palling around with the electrician that's also recently started his, and you're palling around with the HVAC guy that started his, and you're just making connections that you can talk to. And then whenever some weird thing comes up,
yeah.
you're no longer on an island, right? Like the whole, I can't remember the initials, the BCI reporting thing or something, it was a tax thing that was supposed to happen. You were supposed to...
BOI.
BOI. The yeah. BOI report.
I filled ours out, by the way.
Yeah.
I just did it. Who cares?
Everyone was all in hubbub about it. It takes 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, you just fucking do it.
Well, they're going to know that there's 18 partners in this group. Well...
They already know.
I don't want to call you a tax dodger, but, I mean, I get it. I hate taxes, too.
Right.
Okay.
Well, they already know.
Yeah.
Like, it's on your operating agreement. Like...
They don't have your operating agreement, but yeah.
Right.
When you set up your LLC, yeah. Like, what's the group that you're in, you have lunch with those guys? Is it every month or
yeah.
every week?
Yeah, it's not even an official group. It's just a group of business owners that yeah. we were like, hey, you sell fireworks, you sell flooring, you sell houses.
Yeah.
Like, we should meet and get together and just see how we can help each other out.
Yeah.
Completely opposing businesses, like yeah. no overlap at all.
Doesn't matter.
Right.
But it's a small group that you right. can be a part of. And I will say, if you are a business owner, you're out on an island and you feel like everything's overwhelming, you don't have to join TradeWinds, but join a B&I group.
Yeah.
If you're a plumber, there's all those local, you were talking about it this morning, all those stupid little local plumbing groups and mm-hmm. this and that. Be a part of them.
Yeah.
Join your community chamber of commerce to start.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, just, there is a lot of value to just discussing and being in the same room with people that have your same goals and are in similar situations to you.
Yeah. And if you're afraid, there's a lot of people that have never really surrounded themselves with people that want to do better. And so you'll get these condescending things from people that are in your circle, right? The moment you decide, look, okay, I want to do better. I want to change the trajectory of my family, or I want to do really good at this because I don't think anybody thinks I can, kind of thing.
Yeah.
You're going to get some accidental condescending remarks. Just let them roll off. Take advice from those that are farther down the path from you.
Yeah.
Don't take advice from those who took a water break and they're behind you, right? And
not to say that their advice may be bad, but they're not where you want to be.
It's just not credible.
No,
right?
They are not where you want to be.
It might be good advice, but it also might be bad advice. And
yeah.
and if you take advice from people that have been where you want to go, then you're going to get better advice.
Yeah.
It's just that simple.
Yeah.
David Goggins, when I got to hear him speak, he talked a lot about, because he's done a lot of things that nobody thought were possible. And, I mean, I'm talking like 100-mile races, setting, I don't even know what it is. He's like set the record for the most pull-ups in a day or something.
Oh, yeah. He just did them all
like
day. Took
thousands
a break,
of would, pull-ups. Yeah.
He's got to be on something. That's a lot of pull-ups, dude.
But, like, his knees are pretty much bone on bone because of all the running he does and everything else. And so everyone was asking, like, aren't you afraid to fail? And he was like, dude, I'm glad you brought that up. Because when I recognize that I'm afraid of something, I immediately recognize that the only reason I'm afraid of it is just because I don't know much about it. So I study the hell out of it.
Oh, God.
And then once you study the hell out of something, you're no longer afraid anymore.
I just had a realization on my own. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Uh-oh. I had a fuck off moment in my own brain. God damn it, Dave.
So, like, if I'm afraid of tankless water heaters, well, the only thing that's going to fix that is I got to go study the hell out of tankless water heaters.
Dude, that is such a crazy analogy. I know you're going to remember this. Do you remember when I had you draw me up?
Mm-hmm.
So I did this shower for Jamie. She did this remodel. They had an 85-gallon water heater now, mm-hmm. and they were running out of water. I mean, this shower was insane.
Yep.
And they wanted to add a tankless to it.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't ever even looked at a fucking tankless. Yep. I did heating and air.
Yeah.
And I literally said, okay. I got that fucking manual online. I started reading. I sent it to my buddy. I said, hey, how should I pipe this in with that so that they have even... They wanted to leave it. I told them they didn't need it. But they wanted to leave it.
Leave the tank and add the tankless.
How do I do this?
Mm-hmm.
Mitch sent me this drawing. I fucking hooked it all up, run that thing. It's still running to this day. I had no fucking clue what I was doing. I was scared to death that I was going to fuck that house up.
And what's funny is that at that time, no manufacturer had a drawing out anything like that.
No, it was crazy. Yeah. It was a crazy install.
Basically, just for those that are listening that are plumbers, this was a Navien with a built-in recirc pump. And what we did was we made the recirc loop the tank. We also made the tank the cold water inlet of the tankless.
Yes.
And so
they were two stories apart. The tank was in the basement.
Yep.
And I put the Navien in a heated attic.
Yep.
It had a furnace literally right next to it.
Yep. And so essentially what we did was we set it up to where the Navien during times of idle would heat the recirc loop, which was heating 85 gallons of water.
Yes.
And then whenever it would call for a demand, it was pulling off of the recirc looped water, which was the
first
tank. And then as that water started to cool off, the Navien would kick on and keep the water hot. And it basically extended their runtime.
I mean, for hours.
Yeah.
I mean,
they could
hours.
Eventually, in the dead of winter, they would eventually get a Did struggle to keep up. But,
you're talking about a four-hour shower.
Yeah, it would be a really long shower, right?
To your point, I was scared to death. I was like, I don't know what the...
Yeah.
But I'm in this nice house. These people are really sweet. I want to help Jamie out. I've done work for her for years at this point.
Yep.
And I'm looking at him. I'm like, yeah,
yep.
We can do it. Well, how's it going to work? I said, I don't know yet, but we'll figure it out.
Right. And so you did
hey, Mitch.
One of two acceptable answers. You were afraid of tankless. You didn't know. You feared them. So the two acceptable answers are study the hell out of it and calm your fears, or take advice from somebody who is farther down the path than you and trust their advice.
Yeah.
Right? And so sometimes we don't have time to study. And so we have to go pay somebody. For instance, accounting.
Yeah.
We're friggin' plumbers and HVAC guys and tradesmen. We don't know shit about accounting. So what do? We don't study accounting and becoming an accounting whiz. We pay somebody to do the accounting. It's just what we do, right?
Like, let's be honest. I love accounting. I love knowing where everything goes. I've been fucking with that shit for 15 years now on the side.
Mm-hmm.
I still have a CPA. I still go to her for questions.
Right.
Like, there are things I don't know.
Yeah.
Pay a professional.
Yeah.
That's what those customers are doing to you.
One.
Yeah.
Right.
They're paying you to fucking change that toilet out.
Yeah.
Because you're a professional.
Right.
Do the same.
It was in the House Calls Pros Facebook group. Somebody posted that they're paying their accountant $1,800 a year to pretty much look over their shoulder, and the accountants don't really do anything, and I feel like I'm getting ripped off. And it's like, man, I bet you also think customers look over your shoulder.
Yeah.
Like you're literally,
sorry.
Yeah, you're literally being the customer that you hate. You hate the customer that looks over your shoulder and thinks that you're doing everything they could do.
Yeah.
And so I've said for a long time, treat your vendors like you want your customers to treat you. In other words, trust their intuition, happily pay their fee, and then make a discernment after everything is over if it was worth it or not, right? And so, you know, I don't ever haggle pricing with anybody. because if that's your price, that's your price. And I'll move forward with it. And then once everything's done and I get to see the value that I got in exchange for my money, then I'll make a decision if I shop with you again. But I'm not going to, if I call you up and say, hey, how much are these t-shirts? And you say they're $40 each. I'm not going to say like, good God, that's a lot of money. I can remember when t-shirts were $20.
Yeah.
Anything you can do on the side there?
No.
Like,
here you go. Thank right. you. I appreciate your work. Now, if their work sucks, that's another thing, but
right.
Yeah.
Right.
God, I'm still trying to get my boat wrapped. I think that just popped into my brain. I literally
wrapping a boat is expensive.
I was going to wrap my boat.
It's a lot of curves.
I was going to wrap my boat last year. I was going to have Tradewinds put all over. Tradewinds wasn't going to pay for it. I was going to pay for it.
Yeah.
I wanted to use it for advertising and stuff, you know, for like when I go to these fishing tournaments and stuff. And your girl never did call me back.
Mm. Which one?
Odessa.
Okay. They get me.
Yeah, I know. What the fuck? She gave me one response, and then I said, okay. I sent her all the pictures. I said, this is what I want to do, this and that. I said, just let me know.
Dude, we had... So we
and
we
then
wrapped
I sent
that.
Like three follow-up emails and a call. Nothing.
We did...
You were like, yo, you got to keep calling. I was like, no, fuck that. She had her chance. I don't know. What do you want from me?
I sent him an email about wrapping, or, you know, getting decals and graphics for that micro sprint car that we're sponsoring. She fired right back. You know, what are you looking for? I sent her some photos and some dimensions. And we got a three-way email because...
Well, maybe she just didn't want to do the boat. She could have at least said, we don't do boats.
Could have, right?
What the fuck?
Yeah, I don't know. But,
Well, next time you talk to her, you tell her I said
she's
bullshit.
We had it, like, within 5 days.
Yeah.
And that was, like, 2 days of...
Maybe she got a crush on you or something.
Oh, maybe.
I don't know.
But, like, this was, like, 2 days of back and forth just getting the designs right.
And then
3 days of production, and we had them in our hands.
For people that don't know what we're talking about, Mitch sponsored a little kid's sprint car, dirt track race.
Yeah.
It turned out... It's cool looking.
It's cool looking.
It's cool looking. Next time you go, I know... I said that the other day on the group call. I want to go.
I might go this weekend if they don't get rained out.
Oh, it's supposed to rain all weekend.
I know. And we're...
They'll rain if it's a little wet. Or they'll race if it's a little wet, but if it's actually raining, they won't.
Yeah.
Especially the little kids.
The weather's going to be cool enough that we're probably not going to be too much time on the lake this weekend.
No, it's been cold this weekend.
Yeah. So
it's so crazy. It's been hot, nice. Memorial Day weekend rolls around, and Mother Nature's just like, boop,
yep.
Fuck you.
Mason and I are still going wake surfing at 6:30 a.m. Saturday morning, regardless of temperature.
Well, you guys have wetsuits.
We got wetsuits.
And the water's 76. So
yeah.
I went to Blue Springs the other day with Joey,
mm-hmm.
and
mine said 77 the other day. So,
I mean, he was kind of mad at me because I left him one morning. He, you know what? I'll just
wouldn't
tell
get up.
I'll just tell the story. I go down there and I say, "Hey, tomorrow I'm going fishing. I'm going to leave about 9. Do you want to go?" "Oh, that's too early." And for anyone that knows my brother, he is a night owl. He works on our stuff at night.
Yep. Sleeps
I said,
all day.
I said, "No, I got stuff to do. We're going out. I'm going at 9." I call him at 9:10, I think. No answer.
Last chance.
I go into his apartment because his girlfriend's gone. It's my house.
Right.
I go down. Door shut. He's asleep. I'm like, okay, no big deal. I'll go. I'm going to Smithville by myself. He calls me like 20 minutes later. He's like, hey, I'll be ready to go at 10:30. I was like, dude, I left 20 minutes ago. He's like, did you get Janine to go? I was like, no, I went by myself. You went by yourself?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Like, I didn't say this, but fishing by yourself is the most calming, relaxing experience you can ever have. So I go up to Smithville all day. I fish. I catch 41 by myself.
Hell yeah.
So the next day I get up and I'm like, hey, you want to go or what? So I take him out there. But yeah, the water was 75. Now we caught a ton at Blue Springs.
Good.
There were it was chilly out. There were two wake boats out there.
Yeah. We were out there Friday night.
Did you go Friday night?
And... Mason and I went out Sunday afternoon when I got back from Lake of the Ozarks.
You went out Sunday when you got back?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't you need to rest?
Yeah, but not. So I drove home.
But your boy was wanting to go.
I drove home. He wanted to go, so I took him out. And then we went and played 9 holes of golf. After that,
you know what you know what I don't freaking understand? I got a bone to pick with you. I love playing golf. Joey and I used to play. Weekly.
Yeah.
Mitch, you want to play golf? Oh, I hate golf. I don't golf. Hey, Mitch, you want
to
golf?
You have not invited me to golf
this
in the last year.
Well, this has been, I'd say, 2 or 3 years ago, four years ago. Especially when we were younger. Like, hey, Mitch, let's go golf. I don't, blah, 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 blah. You get one new friend that golfs. You're ready to get new clubs, get new bag, travel to play fucking golf. my feelings are a little fucking hurt. That's if you want to know the damn truth, yeah. You either got a crush on his wife.
No.
Or no. You're a shitty friend.
I'll go with shitty friend. If those are my two options, I guess I'm a shitty friend.
Or do you just have you just maybe found a little like, hey, I like going now more than I used to.
Honestly, I think what it is for a while I was plumbing so much, my shoulders were so trashed.
Yeah, dude.
Golf hurt, but also golf was very frustrating because I had no feeling in the club.
Yeah,
my shoulders. Well, that's also because you're hitting. Vague.
You were also hitting Dunlops from 1987.
I still have them.
I know you do. That's my point.
But
they got old man flex shafts now. Where you don't have to swing very hard. I'm serious. You should probably get some.
It's not the swinging hard, but
it hurts.
Really? What? Older those you clubs get. Are probably a little too short for me now.
Oh, they're way too short for you. They were too short for you when we were in high school.
Yeah, but no. Now that I'm less in the field as much, and I've been going to the gym and stuff, my shoulders are healthier. It's now enjoy. Like I sucked. When we went Sunday, I shot a 74 on 9.
Well, it really doesn't. That's not the point of us playing golf.
Right,
or
right, right.
Guys like us. We go because it's, you could drink some beers. You're outside. It's kind of fun to hit someone, one off of someone's house.
Well, like, for me, like when I was bad, when my shoulders hurt, it was one of those things of like, it's frustrating because no matter what I do, I can't get better because I can't feel the club.
Yeah.
And so now I can feel the club and it's like, nope, I know I shanked that. Whereas before it was like, I don't even know why I shanked it. It felt exactly like the one that I just crushed.
Do you remember that time that we went to Royal Meadows over off of, you know, where the Walmart and the Lowe's is off of 20 and you hit that golf cart?
Yes.
Those guys were standing right next to
it. Yeah.
So we're on a fairway. It's a par 4. Nothing crazy.
Shanked
pretty
one.
Straight. But all these holes are literally stacked on top of each other. Yeah, so these guys are on the left.
It's a pretty parallel golf course.
Yeah. These guys are on the left, in the left rough. There's a row of trees, and their cart is like 150 yards, maybe. So we're all hitting driver. We're driving past them. Mm-hmm. Mitch literally hits one dead straight down the fairway. I mean, smokes this fucking thing.
And it curves.
It immediately takes a fucking sharp left.
Yeah.
And hit that car. It sounded like someone got hit in the head with a baseball bat.
Yeah, it hit it square.
Whack!
And those guys were mad.
Dude, those two. That one guy dropped to the ground.
Yeah. What's
it's a great? We had a great time though.
We had fun. Remember that whole time. I'm like, is that going to keep going left? Is that going to? Surely it's not going to hit that cart. Oh, bam! Wow,
Mitch wasn't the old. That guy dropped to the ground. Mitch dropped to the ground.
I dropped to the ground.
He was like, oh my god!
Panic, like fight or flight, and I tried to flight by just dropping to the ground.
It was me. Not that anyone cares. It was me, you, Ryan Farrell.
I think your brother, maybe.
Was it Joey? I don't remember who the fourth was.
Yeah,
but I remember Ryan and I looking at each other and laughing.
Yep.
I mean, that may be the hardest I've ever laughed in my life.
It was a big hit. Because
the look on your face,
yep.
You're literally holding people that just listen. Just click on the YouTube video for 5 seconds. He's holding the club like this, and he just looking at us.
I'm just watching.
And the ball's like, going.
No way is it
going
to go.
And the ball's
over there.
Going. You think it's going to keep going? I think you said something. I mean, whack.
Yeah.
Fuck.
I do remember I said, should we yell four? Bam!
I think no one did yell for.
No, no one did.
I think you did go apologize. I think you were like, dude, guys.
Yeah.
Sorry, man. Like,
during
it was bad.
During that
funny as shit though.
When we were golfing down in southern Missouri.
When you went to Top of the Rock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There were two holes that were
parallel. When you were on your swingers trip.
Whatever. there were two holes that just were parallel to each other, and there was water in between the holes.
Like a long running water creek or just like a pond?
Like a pond.
Okay.
But the pond was in the
field of play?
In the slice zone for both holes for right-handed hitters.
You mean hook on one and was it coming back? So
yeah,
slice
coming,
on the other?
Coming okay, back. Okay, but slice for both.
Slice for both. So it's
and
on the
so,
right-hand side if you're a right-handed golfer.
Yeah, okay. These holes are like 175 yards to the pin.
Yeah, it's a par,
it's
a
par
three
course.
Course. Yeah.
And they're both like 175 yards to the pin. And the tee box and the pins are fairly close to each other and there's a pond in between them.
Yeah, they're close.
And so the tee boxes, like you're not going to hit anybody, but like we see people on the other tee box and we're on this tee box and we're just trading balls into the water. And they'd slice it, and they'd be like, damn, give me another. And I'd slice it, and I'd be like, damn, give me another. And
you just made
they were
the
like
course
waving.
$55.
Yeah, we're like hitting balls at each other that can't get to each other because we're clubbed for the pins, not for the other tee box. But like It was funny because they were on a bachelor trip and they were like, wow, you guys suck as bad as we do. And it's like, no shit.
Yeah. But that's part of the fun.
Yeah.
Like let's be honest, being good at golf, like the best I've ever shot's an 82. I've shot it twice.
Yep.
A lot. When I was playing all the time, it was like in the 80s. It's fun and all, but being with your friends and drinking beer and having a good time and seeing your buddy get drunk and shank one and fall down, like that's the best part about golf.
My best days on the golf course is like if I break 100.
Yeah, you are extremely awful.
I mean,
but if you had some clubs that you could actually use, maybe you wouldn't be so bad.
Well, and if I just swung more, like practice more, right?
Yeah. Do you think we have completely got off topic? Do you think that we should have a Tradewinds golf tournament someday? That'd be fun.
It would be fun.
What would we do? Would we like donate the money to charity? Like pick a charity, have a Tradewinds golf tournament, donate it to. I don't know what we would donate to.
Want to be shady with it? All proceeds go to charity and be like, well, we raised $43,000, but ironically, the tournament cost $42,000.
Dave's fees for hosting it were $20,000. No, we wouldn't do that.
You know what it'll be like, Susan G. Komen?
No, fuck that bitch. No, we would actually do something good with the money.
Right.
I don't know what we would do, though.
Yeah.
You know what I would really like to do would be like give it to an upcoming trade school, but they're making money hand over fist anyway. They don't need our money.
It'd probably be easier just to join up on one. I don't want to run one because then you can't play in it.
I think we should run one and have our guys come in.
Yeah,
that would be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
We could do it at Blue Springs pretty easy.
Yeah. That was my first time playing at Blue Springs Country Club. That course is nowhere near as nice as Adams Point.
No, it's not.
Nowhere near.
No, but it's shorter.
Mm-hmm.
It's easier to find your ball because there's so many big trees. Hits the trees and drops it down.
Is it?
That's what Joey thinks.
I lost several because that rough is deep.
It is deep. Adams Point, though, if it goes past the rough and into the woods, it's gone forever. It's literally gone.
Danielle was my cart candy on Sunday.
That was an interesting choice of word.
And
cart candy.
I mean, we're on like hole three, and I'm off in the rough looking for my ball.
Is this dirty?
No. She's just like, is it normal to spend this much time looking for your ball? And I'm like, thanks, babe. That hurt.
No, bitch, it's not.
That really hurts.
That's funny. Oh, my God, that's funny.
Is it normal for my cart to talk back so much?
That's why you got to leave your wife at home.
Yeah.
It's like those memes you see, and it's a guy and a girl, and she's holding the deer. And he's like, I have a great new hobby. And then I got a new hobby to escape my something.
Yeah.
And then he's like, but then my something took up hunting.
Yeah,
and
I got a new hobby to escape the stress in my life, and then my stress took up hunting.
Yeah, she's just standing there next to him.
Holding a giant freaking rack.
Yeah, yeah. It's the same thing.
More stress.
You don't take your wife golfing, unless you're in Cabo or Cancun. That's a lot of fun.
Well, I mean, I don't mind her. It's fun having her in the cart.
Yeah, except she's talking shit.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if I'm going to let her drive the cart anymore.
Dude,
she doesn't understand the ethics of golf, so she doesn't know where she can and can't drive.
Yeah.
And she's like not wanting to drive on the fairway.
So it's the same as her.
And then she's wanting to drive straight across the tee box.
So it's the same as her regular life.
Yeah. Yeah.
When it comes to driving. I think I can just go wherever I want. What happened to your wheels? Oh, no.
Hey, babe, I drove 100 grand or 100,000 miles and didn't curb a wheel once.
Yeah.
Isn't this easy?
Yeah. She doesn't. That's not good. You got to teach her.
Oh, I did. I let her drive the whole time, and I'm like, you can drive here, you can't drive here. If this says 90-degree rule, this is what we do, but we're open today. You can drive wherever. Just avoid the tee boxes and the greens.
Yeah. See the little sign that says cart path here? That's where you go.
Yeah.
Janine, when we went to Cabo, I don't know if I've ever said this on the podcast or not. So we go to Cabo, and I take my clubs. Cabo's like the number 7th ranked best golf destination in the world.
Right.
And so we play two different courses. And the first course we go to, like it's when you pay, it's like 300 and at this time it was like $380, all you can eat, all you can drink. Mm-hmm. You drive wherever you want except for on the green. They don't care.
Yep.
You need anything, you hit the call button, they bring it to you. Well, you can have someone with you that's not golfing and you can just pay $50 and it's all you can eat and all you can drink for them too.
Right.
So she's like, I'm going to drive. I'm like, okay, that's great. It's like, let's go. Dude, hole four, she's so drunk, she can't drive the golf cart.
Yeah, good
I was
for
like,
her.
Okay, we got to switch. Like, because she was canned.
We were in Cancun on a similar thing, only, they offer rental clubs.
Yeah. I mean, you don't have to fly your clubs
if you don't want. If you don't
want to
fly them, right?
And they're 10 times nicer than the clubs you're using.
I know.
Yeah.
And so we get there, and the four of us get rental clubs.
They're probably nicer than mine now.
The guy checking us out at the in the clubhouse, like, calls somebody and lets them know we got a foursome starting, and they all have rentals. So then the marshal meets us on hole one. And he was like, I'm just going to let you know, this isn't a good look. All you guys showed up in a taxi cab, and you have rental clubs. And it's like, dude, we're not in our normal country, so we don't have our own shit.
Yeah.
And he was like, well, pace of play is very strong and very important. If you can't find your ball after about 10 or 15 seconds, you got to just drop and take the penalty. And I would also suggest that you guys don't hit the grill on the turn. And it's like, no, you can't offer all you can eat and all you can drink and then prohibit us from.
Yeah.
And so, like, we gave that guy heck all day long. He followed us for like the first four holes. And he was like, go ahead and drop. And it's like, dude, there's nobody behind us.
Yeah.
Go ahead and drop.
Doesn't matter.
And then a single, like a group of eight started appearing like three holes behind us. And he was like, you got an eightsome coming up on you. And it's like, we're fine. And since when does a group of eight ever play through a group of four?
Yeah.
Like, it's just weird.
Yeah. Do people take that fucking golf shit too serious?
Oh, yeah.
Like, unless you're a professional course,
mm-hmm.
and even if you are, but you're open for anyone to play on, get the fuck over it.
Yeah.
Like, there are certain courses, and I don't mean to disrail you here, like St. Andrews. Anyone can play St. Andrews. Where they have the European mm-hmm. Championship, right? But you have to have a USGA card mm-hmm. and a 20 handicap, or you can't even get on the course.
Right.
Like, if it's that serious, do that.
Essentially, if you're going to suck, suck fast.
Yeah. Yeah. And, dude, if it's... And I'm not one of those people that's super serious. Like, if you go on the weekend, it's mm-hmm. busy, okay? You got time to look for your shit.
Yeah.
But if it's... If people are behind me, and I'll just fucking kick a ball out. I don't care.
Or I'll let them play through.
Yeah.
Who cares? We let three guys play through on the nine. Now, we had... It wasn't just us. They brought their kids. They were trying to let their kids hit a couple balls and
yeah, everyone's got to learn. Where are they supposed to learn?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And so we had these two high school guys come up behind us, and we already told them. Like, we hollered at them as they were pulling up to the green. And we were on the next tee box, and it was like, guys, we're not even going to tee off. We're just going to let you guys play through. We don't want to break your stride. And they're like, awesome. And so they did their thing, right? And then we had a single come up behind us. And it was like, hey, we're not even going to tee off. We're just going to let you play through. He's like, oh, thanks. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
You know, they don't care.
Why was that guy such a douche? Was he just...
I don't know. It was just a weird, weird thing on the Marshall
little
side
dick,
of things.
Can't yeah,
they
get
were just,
laid.
I don't know. They were just trying to rush us the whole time. So it was weird.
I
offer rental clubs and then judge the people for taking you up on them.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, I like playing with my own stuff because I'm comfortable with it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a bitch. Yeah. Fly your clubs, check them, cost you $45. I think it's more than that now.
They might get broke.
Yeah. It's like, man. And now it's like, if you go to a really nice place, dude, their shit is excellent. They'll even let you, like, hit three or four different sets and be like, what do you think about that? That's fine.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
That was the thing. They were like, here's some clubs. Go try them out on the range. Let us know if they're going to work. Like, I'm like, wow, this is accommodating. And then we get the marshal, and it's like, oh, you're not accommodating.
Yeah. You know what I think I should do? I think I should take this putter, and I should stick it up your fucking ass.
Yeah.
Like, stop being a douche.
Yeah.
Ugh.
So... So I think we've
beat that horse.
We beat the horse to death on golf and about not tripping over dollars to save dimes. So, and in more ways than one with opportunities and everything else. So, guys, if you want that recording for the, how to attract top talent and retain top talent, join Tradewinds, and the recording is in there. If you want to join Tradewinds, there's a link in the description of this show. Also check the link down there for the description for the two links, Apple or Android, on the Tradewinds app. That app is like a one-time payment of $5 or $10.
It's $9.99. You own it for life.
You own it for life, and it'll help you price out jobs.
We don't sell you any bullshit in the app either.
No.
Man, I hate apps. Yo, it's a free app.
It's
okay, but every 5 minutes I've got a no, decline,
upgrade.
Upgrade.
Yeah, no, we don't do any of that.
No, it's $9.99. It's like a CRM that you don't have to pay for until you're ready for a CRM.
Yeah, yeah.
Makes your invoices look professional.
We even joked around about calling the app the Sidework app, because that's kind of where you're going to use it as that transition between Sidework to real stuff.
Yeah.
Once you're out on your own fully, you're going to have a legit CRM and everything else. But the app is just to help kind of get you pointed in the right direction.
Yeah. And if you want an app and you want to be able to create invoices and you want to really look at CRMs for 6 months or a year before you really decide what you like, that's just use it till
just
then.
Use it. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know who should have it?
Yeah, he could.
Yeah, your kid over there.
Yeah, he could use that app maybe to do mowing jobs.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know how to give them away for free. Maybe I'll give them one.
It's $10. I'll buy it. I'll prove that it works on the Google Play Store once it's showing up.
That's true.
It's not.
Where's my $10, Mason?
You can't. You can't find it on the Google Play Store yet, but it is available through the link at the Google Play Store that we have below. Yeah. But it's not showing up in their searches yet. Just some semantics with Google. So
no, it's.
They're wanting to make sure we got insurance, and they're wanting to make
sure.
No,
I wanted to crush you because Google fucking phones suck and Android sucks, but I'm not gonna because I'm gonna be honest. I'm not sure what the fuck's going on. They said 7 to 14 days. It could have been business days. I don't know. Yeah. It could be on there tomorrow.
14 business days. That's 3 weeks.
I know, man.
So
it's ridiculous.
That's
it, buddy.
So until next week, guys, we will see you later. If just a quick reminder, if this show brought you value or you think somebody would benefit from this show, send it to them. Literally hit the share button and send them this episode and say, hey, I just listened to this and I thought this would add value to you. So until next week, guys, we'll see you.